a pastor was rushing, driving furiously to get to church for the Easter service because he knows that all kinds of neat people will be there. It's going to be a big crowd, and he was all excited. He was driving a little faster than he should, and suddenly he saw something run in front of his car, and he hit it and went tumbling onto the grass, so he slammed on the brakes. He saw that there was a bunny, and next to it was a basket full of eggs. And the bunny was dead, and the eggs were scattered. The pastor said, "Oh my goodness, I have killed the Easter bunny. On Easter morning, what can I do?" So he's standing there, and he's looking over the bunny, and a lady pulls up behind him, and she got out of the car. She said, "Well, sir, I hope you're happy with yourself. You've killed the Easter bunny." He said, I don't know what to do. She said, "I have something we can try." She got into her car, she reached under the seat, and she brought out this aerosol can, and she went over to the bunny, and she sprayed it on the bunny and stepped back. The bunny jumped up to life. The bunny gathered up the eggs in the basket, ran a few feet and turned around and waved, ran a few more feet and turned around and waved, turned around and waved, turned around and waved. He said, "Ma'am," he said, "thank you." He said, What was that?" And as you looked at the can, this is what the can said: "Hairspray restores life to dead hair, adds permanent wave." Happy Easter! A day of surprises, and you never know what you're going to get out of here. So what is Easter? It's a celebration. People celebrate for different reasons. Some celebrate about the Easter bunny. Some celebrate that warmer temperatures have come with spring. And on YouTube and on Facebook recently, a little video surfaced that illustrates some of the confusion around Easter. And I just want to show you, it's a short clip. It's between a little three-year-old daughter, a little confused about Easter, and her dad, who's coloring an egg. He's drawing a face on an egg. So if we can just watch this real briefly, please.
"Are you painting a face on an egg?"
"Yes, I am."
"Have you lost your mind?"
"No, it's for Easter."
Easter.
"Right, okay. What's wrong with Easter now?"
"I just don't understand what it's all about. Why do you give me chocolate?"
"How do you mean?"
"When I ask for chocolate, Mum said, 'No, not good for you.' Sometimes you give me more chocolate what I can eat."
"Like when?"
"Easter, Halloween, Christmas, my birthday."
Okay.
"The country has gripped by obesity. All our celebrations have loads of chocolate."
"I suppose you're right."
"I don't get the characters either."
"What characters?"
"The Easter characters. We learn all about Easter at nursery."
"Yeah?
Are Easter Bunny and Jesus best pals?"
"Well, not really."
"Is Easter Bunny in the Bible? Does he carry a basket of eggs all the time?"
"Well, the thing is, he's not really in the..."
"Does Jesus totally love chocolate then?"
"Well, the thing is, Easter Bunny's not really in the Bible."
"What do you think Jesus' favourite chocolate is?"
I don't think he had a favourite."
"My favourite's Puffins."
"Listen, Isla, lots of people believe lots of different things, but the most important thing is that we have fun together."
"You know what I really don't get?"
"What's that?"
"Bunnies don't even lay eggs."
Amen. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, people celebrate Easter in many different ways and for different reasons, but there is really only one true reason for Easter, and that is to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All God's people say, Amen. So today I'm going to unpack Easter a little bit for us by using some packing boxes to help us more deeply understand the powerful meaning of Easter, the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, though, I want to lay some theological foundation with these boxes, and I'm going to start with the first box. This is our state before Jesus came, before Jesus was born, before Jesus taught and loved, and before Jesus was crucified, and before Jesus was risen, and before Jesus was raised from the dead, we are alone. A great great scripture about this is in Ephesians 2:12. He talks about their former time, and this is the time what we are like before we know Christ, before Christ came. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ. Now that's alone. Separated from God. Excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Listen to these words. Without hope and without God in the world. Who wants to stay alone like that? What a place. What a state. You heard in the first video the darkness that was there. Second box shares with us that we were alone, and we were also in sin. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We've all fallen short. We can't achieve it on our own. We can't achieve God or heaven or salvation on our own. We all fall short. That illustration is about a marksman shooting an arrow at a target, and he misses every time. Fall short. Can never achieve it on our own. We are in sin, separated from God. Again, not a very nice place to be. Third one, we are lost. How many have ever had a time in your life as a child when you were lost? Yeah. How many have had a brief time in your life when your child you thought was lost? How many times have you been driving the car and you were lost? And how many were with someone in that car that would never stop and ask for directions? We don't like being lost. So we depend on our GPSs now. We sent a woman's group one time from my last church to a woman's conference in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and they were following their GPS. It said, go right. They went right. Go straight, stop at the street. They stopped at the street, go left. They turned, there's a wall. You couldn't get there from there. They had built the wall since the GPS had been updated. Lost. Like he said, without God, without hope, without anything. How many want to be lost without God in the world in eternity? No, we don't. We also face death. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, they really had no death. There was no death. They didn't even stub a toe. But when sin came into the garden, death came in, disease. And to this day, we feel the repercussions of that death. We die physically. And without God, without Christ, we die spiritually. Death. The body dies. We die. We have an eternity that we must face, and where we'll face that eternity and spend it. Death is another one. And since this is a big subject, there's also a place in Scripture very clear called hell. It is very clear in Scripture, as you say, in Matthew 25:41, He will say to those on his left, depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Yes, my friends, just as much as there is a heaven, there is a hell. Don't let anybody fool you. There is a hell. It is real. It will be full. There is a heaven. It is real. It will be full. And what we do with Jesus, the love that God showed us in Jesus, determines where we spend our eternity. As I heard one pastor say, we all get eternal life. It just depends on where we choose to spend it. There is a hell. And also, because of these, this aloneness, this sin, this lostness, this being dead and facing hell, there is grief. It grieves us inside. And it grieves us when a loved one dies and we don't know if they knew Jesus, so we know, we hope they did, because we know that in Jesus is eternal life. That's why he says in 1 Thessalonians, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. You know how wonderful it is to be a pastor, even though somebody from our church or somebody that I know or somebody from your family, your friendships, we do a funeral for them, and I know that they knew Jesus. I can stand there at that graveside and proclaim where they are, now and eternally. But if I don't know, I can't have that same proclamation. I can respect the person, thank God for their influence in our lives, but I don't know. Only God knows where they are in his hands. That's what we face. Aloneness, sin, loss, dead, hell, and grief. That's where that places us without Christ. And we don't know what to do about that in that state. We just know that we are in that state. But the beautiful good news of Jesus Christ is this. In 1 Corinthians 15 that was read today, it says, because what was going on is some people were going around saying to the Christ ones, to the people who had come to Christ, they're going around saying, there's no such thing as a resurrection of the dead. There's no thing as life after death like that. You don't need to believe that stuff. And Paul makes it very clear. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus himself was not raised from the dead. And if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then all this didn't matter. As he says here, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. In other words, we can't help anyone come to know Jesus. And so is your faith. If you've come to faith in Jesus, then it's useless. If there's no resurrection, Jesus didn't raise, because there's no hope there. There's no truth there. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, because it says, God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. We'll be false witnesses, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, which he did. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. See the logic in there? For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also have fallen asleep. Those ones, that loved ones who knew Jesus and died, are also still in their sins and are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, if it's just to know a little bit of religious stuff in this life, then we are to be pitied more than all. We're stuck in our aloneness, in our sin, in our lostness, in our deadness, in our grief, in hell. We're stuck there. Who wants to be stuck there? I didn't think I'd see any hands. Not from me either. Look at verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. So as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. And then he adds this. I want to show you a difference, what happens here. Remember the first box? We were alone in Jesus. We become his child. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, we're all God's children. We all can become God's children. We're born God's creation that he loves, and he gave his only son to die for us. But we need to be born anew, and we do that by coming to Jesus, by inviting him into our hearts. That's why he says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Do you want to be alone, or do you want to be his child? Which one? Okay, that sounds great to me. Let's put that one right there. We were in sin. We don't want to keep our sins. We'd rather be washed clean and forgiven. It says in Isaiah 1:18, and this is through the sacrifice of Jesus, Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Do you realize when you invite Jesus into your heart, when you ask God to let Jesus die for your sins and pay for your sins, do you realize when you have Jesus in your heart and your life as your Savior, you ask for forgiveness for your sins, all your sins are gone. You weren't even that clean when you were born as a baby because you still had original sin on. But when you have Jesus, all your sins are gone. How does that make you feel? Amen. Okay, do you want to live in sin or would you like to be clean? All right, there we go. Without Jesus, we're wandering around, we're lost in life, and we can be, as it says there about the cleanliness, we can be completely forgiven. That's why in Acts 13:38 it says, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. You know, sometimes we struggle with forgiveness, don't we? Sometimes we say, okay, I get it. I've asked God to forgive me, so God can forgive me. But, you know, the hardest person to forgive ourselves, amen? But if God can forgive you, if his son Jesus died to forgive you, if that's good enough to forgive you, then you need to accept it. You need to find forgiveness. Do you want to be wandering around still lost and wondering, or would you rather be forgiven? Forgiven? Amen. Forgiveness. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but in Jesus, we have life. Listen to 1 John 5:11-13. To me, this is just as important a scripture as John 3:16. This is a testimony. How many want to have eternal life in heaven with Jesus? Raise your hand. Amen. Okay, good. I hope every hand went up. This is a testimony. God has given us eternal life. Ears perk up. God has sent it. And this life is in his Son. This is a very clear passage, my friends. He who has the Son has eternal life with Jesus in heaven forever. Amen? He who does not have the Son of God does not have that life. You see the difference in the choice? But listen to this. Somebody says to you, well, I hope I can be good enough. I hope I do enough good things. I hope I can know I go to heaven. I hope I go to heaven someday. Well, look what he says. I write these things to you who believe on the name of the Son of God so that you may what? What? Does that mean in the future? How about now? Eternally. So that you may know that you have eternal life. Who wants to know they have eternal life with Jesus forever? Amen? All right. So, eternal life with Jesus. And then the big subject, hell. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but every description in Scripture is not a pleasant place. A very horrible place. We also talks about this, Philippians 3:20-21, but our citizenship is in, what's it say? Heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Yes, we will have glorified bodies like Jesus and live and reign with Jesus forever. Who? Let's hear an amen for heaven. Amen. Okay. Oh, I hear some people saying, oh. This is what Paul's point was. Would you rather have the opposite side of that? That's where we were. You don't take advantage of Jesus as risen from the dead. If you don't take advantage of Jesus was a real historic breathing figure, he was the Savior who was sent by God himself to redeem us so that we could have him as our Savior, become God's children, have eternal life and have all this. We become his child, we become cleansed, we become forgiven, we have eternal life, we'll spend eternity in heaven, and we are risen with him now and eternally. Amen? And if you don't have the resurrection of Jesus, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, You don't have that. You have the opposite side. That God so loved you, and God so loved me, that we have all of this because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it says in Romans 6, 4 to 5 about the risen one, "We are therefore buried into him through baptism in death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we had been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." Which means this: the day will come, whether your body is in the grave or your body is still alive, when Jesus returns, if you know Jesus, you will be raised just like Jesus was. People say, "Well, but what if it's a while and I've turned to dust?" You remember the God that took the dust and created humanity in the first place? Guess what? He could do it again. Amen? The God of the eternity and the universe can do anything. So look at the glories we have because of the cross, because of Jesus Christ, who lived and rose. From aloneness to being his child, from sin to being cleansed, from loss to being forgiven, from death to eternal life, from hell to heaven, and from grief to being risen. Let's give God a praise offering for the resurrection of Jesus Christ.